Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Agrotech Foods Limited Q3 FY21 financial results analyst call hosted by Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mehul Desai of Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Aisha. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Anand Rathi, I welcome you all for the Q3 conference call for Agrotech Foods. From the management side, we have Sachin Gopal, Managing Director, and Mr. Srinivas, CFO. We'll start with opening remarks from the management, and then we'll go forward for the Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, Mehul, and good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking the time out to be with us today, and as usual, we'll try and give you a perspective on the business, and then, as Mehul says, we'll take questions. Just one preliminary comment before we start. You would have noticed this time that we have, in our investor release, we have given you two pages. All the food parts of those two pages are the same. However, in the oils part, we've made one change, but we've given you the earlier categorization also so that, for comparability, it's easy for you. So in the first page, you'll see we've split the oils between premium edible oils and mass edible oils. And if you look at the photograph along the premium edible oils, you'll see two brands of oil there. One is Sundrop Super Light, our blue pack, and one is Sundrop Heart, which is the red pack, right? And then what we have done is the other Sundrop oils, right? We have other brands like Sundrop Gold Light, Sundrop Light, Sundrop NutriFit, Sundrop Healthy World. Those we have moved into a category where we've combined it with Crystal called mass edible oils. Yeah? And the logic for this is that, and this is the classification that we'll share with you even the next quarter, is that with food business now gaining scale, it was relevant for us to split it because premium edible oils is where we sell at a premium to competitors, right? And of course, at a much higher premium it used to be, which we've used the current input commodity price as an opportunity, which in any case, although we were planning to do, to reduce our premium to competition so that this business stays healthy as we go along the way. To put it into perspective, today the food business accounts for about 40% of our total revenue. You'll see that, right, in the headline of our investor release. The other two account between themselves for the balance 60%, and the premium edible oils, right, which is Super Light and Heart, account for about around a third of our business, so say 32%-33%. And the mass edible oils, which is all the other oils, the lower price Sundrop, the Crystals of the world, they account for another 27%-28%, okay? And our kind of many of you had asked the question, what will happen when oils, when the food becomes the single largest contributor to gross margin, and it's a matter of time before it becomes the largest contributor to revenue as well. Our broad game plan is that if foods accounts for about 40% of our business, we're able to grow that business at about 25%-30%. Then as time goes along, we can just continue to shed some amount of the mass edible oil business, right? Anything which falls in that lowest bucket. It's low margin. It has very little impact on margin. And we'll still have a steady growth in revenue, steady growth improvement in margin, obviously, because you're replacing some amount of poorer quality volume with higher quality volume, which you don't need now because you've got a lot of distribution mass coming from foods. Very, very solid distribution mass. As you can see, it's almost close to 100 crores of turnover, which is coming from that business. And then also profit growth, right? So I just wanted to give this context. Like I said, we'll give you both reportings this quarter and next quarter. Then after that, we'll move to the premium edible oils, the route of premium versus mass. All right. So overall, as you saw, that we had a strong growth in the foods business. This was up about 40% to a little under 100 crores, or about 40% of total revenues. Pretty much the growth rate has been consistent with quarter two, right? So if you look at total revenue growth, it's about 40% in the quarter. Last quarter was 39%. So it seems to be holding up well. We think there is some amount of COVID-related demand. Obviously, there is some amount of elevated demand through the pandemic. But also, I think There are two other factors at work. One is that we have used the pandemic, the elevated demand, to be able to raise our A&P level. You would have seen they are significantly higher than last year. In fact, our media is up almost 85% versus last year. So we certainly would have got some new consumers, and there's some amount of demand I think that is going to stay on and carry forward into next year, right? And as a consequence, even though you can see, like in ready-to-cook snacks, there's a little softening, right, in the quarter from 60% growth last quarter to over 55%. In total, it's still holding up very well. And the other is ready-to-eat snacks is also getting into the growth mode now, right? As you can see for the quarter itself, it was -1. That means the month of December must have been a lot better than the month of October. So that is also heading into a good growth trajectory. So all of these and the new products are adding scale. In total, all the new products that we launched in the last year, meaning towards the second half of 19, and which are carried through, which is basically sweet corn, chocolate spreads, pops, and the Duo chocolate, have in total added to about 600 basis points of growth that we have. So in other words, our legacy growth was food was crack, clocking at about 14%. So that, I think, we've added another 600 basis points of growth due to the new products. And then the balance between, say, 20 and 30%, right, if you round off our current growth to 30, probably part of it is temporary, but a part of it is also permanent, right? Which means we are certainly, you know, chugging along at probably about a 25-odd% growth rate. And that means with all the new products that we are introducing, that should help us to sustain in that 25-30% growth rate. Okay. So all looking good. If I look at it by category, ready-to-cook snacks registered a value growth of about 55% in the quarter. This was largely driven by volume growth. But sweet corn has also contributed to close to 500 basis points that you would have seen in the ready. So overall, still looking good. We continue to invest behind Active Popcorn. It continues to progress very well. Sweet corn is also growing. So, you know, all looking good. We had indicated to you in the November call or the first December call that, you know, we are going to be introducing more products in ready to cook. We are right on schedule with that. I think the first of those will get launched in this quarter as well. And that will unveil a much larger picture as we continue our vision to be the best performing, you know, to become the best performing, most respected foods company in India, but also become a very powerful snacking company, right? If you look at our portfolio today, it's becoming a very powerful snacking portfolio, right? From chocolates to ready-to-eat snacks to ready-to-cook snacks to breakfast cereals, which are also consumed as snacks, and some amount of spreads and dips, which are also consumed as snacks. So all looking very good. So yeah, as I said, expect to see one more new product in it, at least one more new product this quarter. And certainly the full outline of this will be visible to you probably by the time we are having, so also, I would say by the time we are having our April call on the last quarter. In terms of ready-to-eat snacks, this picture has steadily improved. You can see it's like near 100 index now at -1%. And our go-to-market strategy, I think, has worked well. We are now doing all 5 and 10 rupee packs of ready-to-eat savory snacks. And also, in fact, we've just introduced 5 rupees breakfast cereal. They're all going in full truckloads from the plants to the distributors. So they're absolutely not available in all our depots and CNF agents across the country. And that has removed all the extra primary freight, the loading unloading charges, etc., etc. So all looking good, and I think we expect to be back to very, very significant growth rates once again ready to eat snacks next year. I had mentioned in the analyst meet or the virtual analyst meet that we were going to also look at potato chips, and not as a huge play, but certainly to complete our snacks portfolio. So in effect, we started manufacturing potato chips at Jhagadia in late December, and we will start the rollout. Initially, it will be in West, and then we will see. It takes time to understand every new category, and we need to do it in a profitable manner. So we are working on that. But with this, we have a comprehensive presence across ready-to-eat bag snacks. Basically, bag snacks consists of potato chips, extruded snacks, ready-to-eat popcorn, and tortilla chips. Right? We are present in all four of them, and you know, with a good presence. Now we just need to get the volume so that we scale this business up and also improve our improve our operating leverage in this category. The other thing which is noteworthy is the Unnao plant started commercial production. As you know, we had a fire, and that's earlier, about a little more than 2 years ago, and that's done now, and it's operational. And so that will again make, like it used to earlier, it will be making tortilla chips, breakfast cereals, extruded snacks, and ready-to-eat popcorn. And that will also enable us to go much, much deeper into states like UP, right? These were two important objectives for us to get the plant, one plant in Chittoor, which can reach deep down into Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, and parts of Kerala, and to get another plant in UP, which was already there, but, you know, we were, I think, probably not as skilled on the back snacks then as we are today, which can take us very, very deep down into UP and other parts of North. We still have places like Jammu and all, which are doing very well, but those get serviced out of Kashipur. Okay. So overall, I think, the category looking in very good shape, and we look all set to be able to, to once again get into strong growth rates. Spreads continue to register very strong growth rates. As you can see from this, we got like about a 40% growth rate in the quarter. Of this 40%, about 3,700 basis points came from peanut butter, from the base peanut butter business, and another 400 basis points came from our almond chocolate spreads. Okay, we I think continue to see good growth in peanut butter. There has also been a higher competitive activity. As we mentioned to you last time, Unilever has launched a Kisan peanut butter, which they are supporting with media. And if you recall, they spent about 7 crores in that year. But I would say it is only helping the category. Our growth rates in the areas where Unilever has launched are actually higher than the growth rates in other parts of the country. So that bodes well for us. So I think it bears out what, you know, often we have, many of us always believe that, you know, if a new competitor comes in, but it's a competitor who's spending on advertising, it's only going to be good for the market leader, which is us in this case. So I think that's good. I'm sure we'll get to know from Levers also what is their learning from their quarterly call. And our assessment is that on the Biron by audit, right, they probably picked up about an 8% market share, right? So in the category, that is basis kind of what is our assessment of how much they are probably likely to be selling, basis, you know, whatever we see in the stores, and what we think our market share is in southern India, right, which is higher than the national average. We'll get to know. I'm sure they'll quote some numbers in the call, so we can put it all. You and us, we can all put it together, and we'll have a good idea of what is the current share, right? But from our perspective, bottom line looking good, growth better than non-areas where they aren't there. So, you know, hopefully they'll continue with the launch and extend it, and, you know, we can have a better, even better and more profitable business in peanut butter. As we mentioned in the investor release, we've rolled out almond butter, and the rollout of almond butter has commenced. We'll have two types of almond butter actually, and almond butter is a small category, but, you know, we want to be the clear leaders in nut and seed based spreads, right? So it is very important for us. We will continue. It is not going to be a huge business for us. I don't think almond butter is going to be a 100 crore business, right? At least in the next couple of years, right? But yes, like peanut butter, you know, we would certainly aspire to be very, you know, to be knocking on the doors of 100 crores, or at least we should be knocking on the doors across 100 crores next year on total spreads, including chocolate spreads. But it's an important adjacency for us to be present, right? And we have actually also, as we speak, just started production of a second chocolate spread. This one was with almond, and that one is with hazelnut. So this will enable us to cover both ends of the spectrum. We can cover off the offering that is made by Hershey's, which is primarily focused on the almond and chocolate spread, and then there's a offering that is made by Nutella, which is based on hazelnut and chocolate spread. So you will see all of these in the market as the weeks go by. Okay, so a lot of new product activity as well, and most of it, you know, coming right pretty much on schedule. Our target really is that that by the 1st of April, we should actually have all our new products in place, right, for next year, so that we hit the ground running, so that we can sustain high growth rates again next year. Right. On cereals and confectionery, on cereals, they contributed to about as you can see, about 160 basis points per foods growth. The numbers looking very good. Initially, you know, we had gone a little slow because we had prioritized other areas, but now we've been back in proper supply for a while now, for a couple of months. And we also just launched. So it's like literally going into market. I just saw the photos from Rajkot just now, right? So the first truck had reached there. This is also going directly from the factory. And so we've just launched a 5 rupee offering in cocoa shells, which is kind of like, say, the Kellogg's Chocos, right? It's in that range, an extruded non-centerfilled breakfast cereal. And we've also launched a product called O's and X's, which is colorful. It's a bit like, if you've seen Kellogg's Fruit Loops, right? So it's a bit like that. And fruity and nice and fun and colorful. That's a little white space as far as the market is concerned. There is one company out of Bangalore who has a little bit of that, but not too much. You see it often on. So I think we are working very well. We don't have retail audit data to share with you, but I can tell you, we can tell you from customer data that we have, that we are now number 3 position to Kellogg's in extruded and granola. Right? So in extruded, actually we are number 3 in extruded and number 2 in granola, right? From basic customer data. So in other words, that means in extruded breakfast cereal, Kellogg's is of course the market leader, right? But in the center field, which we've competed so far, right? They are there, and then there's a company called Soulful out of Bangalore. They are number 2, and then we are number 3, and then Nestle is a little lower than us. And then in granola also, there's Kellogg's, as per our customer data, we are number 2 and Nestle is 3rd. So I think we're doing very well. We are going on the back of great products, very decent customer profitability, and very affordable cashing packs. For example, in granola, we are the only people to offer a 20 rupee cashing pack. And the reason is simple. We have the best cost structure amongst all our competitors in breakfast cereal. Right, we have best cost structure. We can, we have great quality products because everything is made in-house. And if you ask any retailer or any consumer, they'll tell you our food products are really excellent. Yeah, so offering good value for money. So I'm sure we are going to pursue it, and our ambition is clear. We will be a strong number 2 to Kellogg's in both extruded cereals and granola. And you can see in the analyst meet presentation, you can have a look at what we've shared in terms of different category sizes. So these are both going to be meaningful businesses for us, right? Then on chocolates, we've been refining our product price architecture. Most of that work is already done. Our objective is that this should be a big growth driver for our business for next year. It's a great category. It's a 15,000 crore category, and we have a great product. Our coconut-centered product is absolutely outstanding. It has strong acceptance in the market, and you can check that out in the retail trade. And that was the white space that is available, right? Because none of the other players who are leading in coconut have actually established manufacturing facilities in India. So if it's imported product, it comes at a very significant price premium. And the coconut version of chocolate is an important segment. You can see that. I think it's as I mentioned to you, it's probably in the top 5 both in Europe and in the US. In Europe, it's more like Bounty, and then in the US, it's more like there's a brand called Almond Joy, right? I think Peter Paul. So looking very good. We've got obviously other things also on track, but for now, this itself can give us a lot of revenue goals that we are looking for. And we will be leveraging our strengths and competitive advantage here, because increasingly chocolate consumption is also going towards smaller pack sizes, right? Consumers actually none of us really want to have, a big bar of chocolate, right? We feel a little guilty about doing it. And this guilt associated with chocolate is not new, right? So when I used to work with Cadbury's several years ago, 30 years ago, even then, we had a tagline saying sometimes Cadbury's can say it better than words. And there'd be a father who'd bring home a chocolate to his children. And then, he was a good dad because he brought chocolates home to his children. And then, of course, as they broke up in the chocolate, they were good parents too because they shared the chocolate with their children because their children wanted to share the chocolate with them. So this guilt about indulgence has been there forever. In India, it's even stronger. right? Even today, we feel guilty, and now we feel guilty for health reasons, right? We really don't want to have a 35-gram bar of chocolate or a 25-gram. We'll have 25, but we ideally want, you know, small portion control sizes, 10 grams, 11 grams, something like that. And we certainly don't want to have 80-gram bars and 100-gram bars, etc., etc. Or if we buy them, then we break them and keep them, but it's a little ambiguity. So world over, in fact, this trend is clear. Chocolates are moving more into portion control, and chocolates as a consequence are moving into bags. Because obviously a high-end retailer is not going to want to sell a consumer a 5-rupee packet of chocolate. He'll want to sell at least 20 rupees, 30 rupees, 40 rupees, 50, 100, whatever, right? And this plays perfectly to our strengths because we have a lot of strengths in bags because of our heritage of bags, right? So you can expect to see there's more play around the bags area, which is kind of the intersection between bag snacks and chocolates, right? Because of its physical form, not because of the physical form of packaging, not because of the way the product is, right? Obviously, there are complexities of temperature control, so on and so forth, but I think we've cracked or are almost there in terms of cracking all of them. So all looking good. I would say, you know, overall a good growth. We continue to see very, very strong momentum across the food business. You will see a further extension in ready-to-cook snacks in the next couple of months. Ready-to-eat snacks, I think we're done with the portfolio now. Now we need to just use these two plants of Unnao and Chittoor to go very deep down in terms of distributor expansion. Spreads looking good. I think we're all set to consolidate our leadership position in nut butter spreads and also start to build the chocolate spreads category in India. And whatever was the competitive strength on threat on peanut butter, that looks to be kind of working well for us, right? We have a great product, good pricing, and we've got decent distribution. And the breakfast cereals, again, continuing to grow. New products have been already introduced, so it's all looking good. Now, coming to this new classification of premium edible oils and mass edible oils, you can see here that in the premium edible oils, we registered a growth in the quarter of about 1% in volume and 9% in value. We still remain a premium to our major competitors in this category, but that premium has dropped. So to give you an idea, that premium would have ranged in the region of about 120 to 103%, right? Which has now come down to about 108 to 115 index, right? In other words, our price premium, which pre the significant input price commodity increase was in the region of 20% to 30%. Now that range has come down to 8% to 15%. So we've almost halved the premium. We think that about 7 to 8%, you know, we should be able to command a premium for our brand and continue to deliver some amount of growth, right? So keep the premium edible oil business in a scenario where it doesn't bleed us, where it doesn't hurt us, where we make a decent margin, and the portfolio is in good shape. And as far as mass edible oil is concerned, which is the other part, as you can see, the volumes are down, and we will take calls on this business as we go along, right? They are not additive to our business in total margin. They have been very useful to us, and there will be still many uses of this business for us in the near term. So we'll continue to report it. But if you see a minus sign there, that's okay, and that's pretty much part of design. In this particular case, though, historically for the first 9 months, obviously there is some amount of out-of-home consumption that came down during the lockdown, though I think that is starting to recover now. And of course, the value decline is less than the volume decline because there has been an input commodity price increase, right? So that's it as far as the first page classification is concerned. I'll come to the second page classification of oils now. As you can see there, you can see it just the way we've shown it to you for several quarters now, right? And the volume of sun drop oils was minus 13, but you can see the value was only minus 4. That 900 basis points is the difference in pricing, which you don't see in the premium edible oils, right? And the reason for that is, at the lower end, we've just taken pricing. We've taken pricing in line with cost. So when you add the lower end oils of sun drop, naturally the gap between volume and value starts to come through, which doesn't happen in the case of so much in terms of the premium end, because obviously there is a mixture of pricing. We've also dropped some pricing. So it's not as aggressive as it is in the other case, okay? Whether you look at it on a quarter basis or a year-to-day basis. And the other one is on crystal, where clearly there is some amount of lower out-of-home consumption and the value reflects higher commodity prices. Overall, for the quarter, Net sales, therefore, about 8% higher than prior year, reflecting largely volume-driven growth of about 40% in food. Year-to-date, in December, net sales growth is 8%, with food growth of about 33%. Q3 gross margin on the foods business was higher than by about 12 crores. All of this is due to the volume growth, right? Part of it due to mix also, but it's all driven by volume. And that's clear because you can see we had a 39% volume growth with a 40% value growth, right? So this is all good. This offset about lower GM in oils of about 10 crores, which is due to our own actions where we've said that, look, we need to be more price competitive. So as input costs went up, we didn't actually move our pricing by the same extent, right? And we allowed our index to naturally become much more competitive to our major competitors. And therefore, that should put us in good shape to be able to have a sustainable, positive volume and value growth in premium edible oil. Year-to-date, December, media is up 85%. That's helped by lower sales promotion expenses. So, and of course, lower SG&A as well. So we have continuous media presence and we intend to do that right through till the end of this year. This will be the first time ever in the history of our company that we would have had a full year presence on both Active Popcorn and Peanut Butter. So that's great, right? Q3 profit before tax was up by about 5%. This is really the play between of oils versus food margin, but that's obviously now going to start it'll move in favor of foods and away from oils, and therefore you'll see the amount opening up in time. Today, December profit before tax was up by 11%. PAT is lower by 2% because there was a deferred tax reversal in the last year. So thank you all for all your help and continued support as we move towards becoming the best performing, most respected foods company in India. Okay. Mehul, it's 2:27, so I'm a little shy of half an hour. We have 33 minutes for Q&A. So whatever anybody wants, please go ahead and ask.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kunal Sharma from Perfect Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So I have a few questions, so I'm listing down together. So first, we know that we don't buy Nielsen data and only sell the annual numbers. But could you please share some qualitative insights for the distribution reach in the number of stores for the branded food business like peanut butter, sweet corn, and Centro Pops? So what could be the number or percentage of stores that are offering the same from the total distribution reach? The second, thanks to the management for the detailed disclosure on the branded food growth, which you gave every quarter. Could you please share some absolute revenue breakup of the branded food in the various components? Third, we know our focus is not on oil, but if we look at our peer Saffola, their overall edible oil business is growing in high teens for the last 3 quarters, whereas our growth even for the premium oil is quite low. So can you please share some color on it, why we are growing so less than industry given our new oil strategy? And lastly, sir, since now we have a good product portfolio instead of launching a newer product, we now press the trigger on increasing distribution reach from the current 4 lakh stores. So that's why our already established product can get good food hold across the country. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Kunal. So I'll try and answer all your questions. So one is, yeah, we don't buy instant data. But we can give you a color roughly on where we reach on the products that you asked for. So I think our assessment is that on peanut butter, to your question, we reach to a little under 100,000 stores. Probably it's in the region of 85,000 stores. That's what our internal data suggests, right? And internal data obviously can also, it can change over time, right? And it has limitations because it is internal, right? So it is dependent on our own people filling it up. But that could be a reasonable estimate for peanut butter. In the case of bag snacks, it would be in the region of about probably, 75,000 would be our direct distribution. I think our indirect distribution will be a lot more. Internet distribution could be upwards of about 200,000, but it's a number that we can't tell you. We don't buy it, right? Microwave popcorn would be probably in the region of about 40,000 stores. It used to be about 25,000 stores, and that would have gone up to about 40 odd thousand stores. So probably both Sundrop peanut butter and Acto bag snacks in a similar range, and then microwave about half of this. And Acto IPG will be about three times that, right? Three times, say, what peanut butter would be. A little more than that, 3 to 4 times in that ballpark. That will be our widest distribution product, right? So that will be more like north of 2.5 lakh stores, etc. What would be the indirect distribution of IPC, of instant popcorn? It would be large, I think, right? Because this kind of a volume growth that we've experienced would certainly mean that we picked up some amount of indirect stores, right? So if I had to make an estimate, I think it's possible that the indirect reach could be another 200,000 stores, something like that. But I don't think it will be like, say, some companies quote that, you know, we have a direct reach of 300,000 or 400,000 stores and an indirect reach of 1.7 million stores. I don't think that will be the case for us. And that's okay, because our design is more, you know, to get good coverage, focused on retail coverage, right? And we use the wholesale actually to give us clout and to keep the, you know, keep opening the doorway for us. You'll have to make your estimates as far as the exact breakup of that is concerned. Each category is concerned. We've given you growth rates over a period of time, right? And we are very careful about, we don't give you specific numbers because, you know, then there's also a lot of competitive data that we share, and we are also in categories where we have, you know, very strong share positions. So I would say I would not be like to give it to you. But if any of our competitors give it to you and they buy Nielsen, I'm sure, you know, you'll be able to take it from there. Regarding Saffola, so this question always comes up on, you know, Saffola, they're in double-digit growth. The answer is yes, and that's their choice, right? They're making that choice. They're spending that kind of money on the brand, right? And that's okay, right? But that's not our choice, right? And the other part is that you'll obviously have to take into account the P&L, you know, and that P&L part, unless we know it, none of us can comment on it. Okay, so let me explain. We are happy, and we share our gross margin figures for you on edible oil, so you know exactly where it is. But I actually don't have any knowledge of you know, our competitors' margin, right? We need to see what is the margin of what the brand is making, how much are they investing behind the brand, right? You know, you're spending 50 to 60 crores a year. How has your profit after marketing expenses been in the last 5 years? Has it increased or actually has declined? Right? Now, if you look at it at a high level, you say, well, it's okay. You know, the brand is getting double digits growth, so that's good. Yes, but I'd like to know what is the profit after marketing expenses. Right? Is that increasing? Because that will tell you whether this category is a good investment to make, a marketing investment or not. So if I'm a business person and I invest marketing dollars or rupees, I expect that over a period of time, my profit after marketing expenses should continue to grow, and my gross margin percentage also should improve, right? I don't invest in businesses if their gross margin percentage is coming down, right? So unless we have all these answers, we really won't be able to give you a comparison versus any of our competitors. If all the data is available, our data is available, which we are making available, competitors' data available, we can certainly engage in the conversation. But otherwise, it's the conversation which is, if you will, a little incomplete, okay? So by all means, you know, you should ask the questions to our competitors in their quarterly calls. Say, you know what, how's your gross margin projecting? What's the percentage, right? Is it getting to a 30 or 35, 40% range? Or is it really declining to the 20s and the double-digit figure? That will give you an answer from an investment perspective. Is this a good business to invest in or not? Okay? And lastly, in terms of distribution reach, yes, I think we certainly adding. As we mentioned to you, we've increased our distributors build have increased consistently over time. So let me give you an idea. If you look at these are our monthly distributors whom we build. In April 17, the number of distributors that we built was 678, right? And in December it was 1081. So you can imagine we've almost doubled the number of distributors that we are billing. And this growth will continue. Certainly there would have been some impact of COVID on this. After all, you know, we're not in the market. And, you know, and we limited travel for the safety of our people. It's also, of course, you know, been an enabler of the media, because that money that we saved on travel, we invested in media. So I would say we will continue to see distributor expansion. And frankly, now it will be more driven by our product portfolio rather than just by adding feet on street. I don't see us adding a lot of people. Like in the old, you know, in the earlier days, we've added almost say, you know, a couple hundred people, you know, and we've invested money from SG&A for it. I don't think that's what we'll require now. That's the reason for creating of this portfolio, which looks very impressive. And there's a reason for it. The reason for this is a portfolio now which spans multiple categories. It spans ready to cook, which is probably, if you take noodles and pasta, more than 10,000 crores. It spans ready to eat, which is probably 35,000 crores or more. Chocolate, which is 15,000 crores. Breakfast cereal, which is 3,000 crores. And spreads, which is about 3,000 crores. So this is a large portfolio. And because this portfolio is robust, our distributors can make money. Because they can make money, we can expand our coverage. So I expect to see that, you know, we will continue to expand coverage and our reach. But it will be differently done and in a far more cost-effective manner than it was done in the earlier when we had no portfolio. Okay? So thank you, Kunal, for asking those questions, and I hope my answer was not too long-winded. All right.
No, sir. Thanks a lot. Fair enough.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Sachin, and congrats on a good set of numbers. I'll put my questions together. So first question is, if I look at your average EBITDA margins over the last 5 years or so, it's about 7.5%. This year also, we will be somewhere in that ballpark. So despite more than 50% of gross profit now coming from the foods business, we are not seeing any improvement in EBITDA margin. So when do we see that happening? What is preventing it till now? And what are the drivers which will cause it to happen in the future? That's question one. Question two is, if you could just explain the reason behind the drop in the gross margin in this quarter, Q3, versus the previous quarter, Q2. So not on YOY basis, but on a QOQ basis. And thirdly, while you have mentioned that there's a big spike in the media spend, what I look at on a YOY basis is that as per your SEBI reporting, the ad spend has gone up from 6 crore to 7 crore, which is about a 15% growth in ad spend. Since most of this is on foods, and foods top line has grown by 40%, your ad spend as a percentage of sales of the food business has actually declined. Do you see that sort of going up in the future? Yeah, so these are my three questions.
Thank you, Percy. Thank you all. Very solid questions, as always, from you. And thank you also for not having the first one on oil. So I appreciate it. we're all moving on, and we're getting into the new food company that we're creating. All right? I'll try and answer all your questions, okay? So on the first one, Percy, very good question, right? I mean, because, you know, obviously, we don't want to be a 7.5-8% EBITDA company, right? Our parent company is north of 15. And how are we going to get there? The thing is that, you see, if you look at it, when we started our journey, and this is way back in 07, 08, we were making about between 60 and 70 crores of gross margin on oils, right? And at that point in time, you know, we said, look, we don't want to remain an oils company, right? And we need to transform ourselves, right, into a foods company. But how do you do that transformation? You need to do it in two ways. One is, we needed to build up foods capacity. We needed to build up capacity to make great foods products, right? Yeah, and we were always said we want to do it in-house. We're not going to go to third party because we'll never be able to do innovation. We'll never get operating leverage, and we'll not have competitive advantage. And that's absolutely the way we paid out. So we've actually, we had to increase, have to fund that investment. And we also had to fund the investment behind our brand, because, you know, if you launch peanut butter, then you also need to invest it, right? It'll be that very moderate level, but it's still a lot of money, right? If you take 5-6 crores and add it over several years, it's a reasonable amount of cash. And we don't really have any other driver, if you will, of the growth of our company. So what happened was, actually, we took the food margin up, right? And we kept taking it up, right? From 60 odd crores to about 130, 140 crores. And I think some years were even more than that. But clearly, of course, as you keep paying pricing, and as we've said in the AGM, you know, there is an impact on volume, right? Now, so what has happened is, it's almost like a graph, you know, and this graph went up and then came down over this period of time. And, you know, this way, this now our margin is, you know, there clearly, as you can see, sub 100 crore, right? But it's reverted back to a kind of range, if you will, on where it was. In the process, we managed to earn the money to invest about 300 crores, thereabouts, if you look at our gross block, to invest all these food plants. We've got 6 food plants up and running now. 6, right? 1, 2, 3. Oh, yeah. We've got 6 food plants as we up and running as we speak today, plus 1 in Dhaka. Of course, Dhaka 1 is smaller, right? And all this money has been earned because of the profits that we were able to earn from the business, right? And in the last 2 years, you saw, it is always what I say, that, you know, if you're swimming and you're an active swimmer, right, and you want to do 50 lengths, no matter what the size of the pool, the most difficult part is, you know, when you get to about 24, 25, that's when you feel tired, right? And, you know, you feel like giving up. And then after some time, you overcome that, right? And the last few years have been a bit of that. It's been in that 23 to 25 lengths, right? Or 22 to 25 lengths, whichever way you want to call it, because this was the most difficult. Your foods business still hadn't got the scale, right, that we wanted, okay? And therefore, it wasn't able to produce that much profit, not because it's not a profitable business, but it just wasn't large enough, right? And at the same time, the negative impact of the high price premium that we were taking to competition, right? Think for a moment to what I called out just now, 130 index, and you are spending 0 and your competitor is spending 60 crores. Obviously, it's going to have some impact on volume, right? None of us are silly about that, right? So, there is going to be some impact on volume, and therefore, you are seeing a gross margin contraction on the other hand. We are now reaching a phase, probably in the last, only in the last few quarters, 3-4 quarters, where the gross margin that we are earning from food, the increase is equal to or more than that of oil. But if you look back to 5-4 years ago, the gross margin increase in oil was nowhere close to the attrition that we were seeing on oil. That is why we had to, you know, have lower A&P, so on and so forth. So it's a stage-by-stage thing. Now, for EBITDA to expand now, the gross margin expansion on food has to be significantly more than the attrition on oil. And we are getting there. If you look quarter on quarter, look at these two figures, it's looking fabulous, right? So it's going to happen, and then you will see the EBITDA expansion naturally, because you've got a business which accounts. Next year, food should account for more than 50% of our business, right? I mean, this is going to account for 40, should account for 50% next year. Well, you know what? When it accounts for that percentage, it'll, even if there is any attrition on edible oil margin, it's not going to be of so much consequence to us, right? So we'll actually be in a very happy space. So that's the answer to your question. On the reason behind the drop in oil, firstly, here you were referring to
Sachin, I was just asking about the total company. The gross margin in Q3 is lower than what it was in Q2.
Right. So that's entirely due to oils, Percy. Entirely due. The food business is rocking. It's giving good growth. In fact, gross margin, there's an expansion of, you know, couple 300 to 400 basis points on food, right? So this is the call that we've taken. As you would know, and thank you, Percy, for clarifying that. As you would know, in its public data, there's been a huge spike in edible oil prices, right? They've gone up by, I'll give you some example, even a commodity like rice bran has gone up by 28%, right? But a product like sunflower oil has actually gone up by 39%. So this is the consequence of our decision to say, no, we're going to lower our price premium. We'll take some of the pricing, but not all of it. And that's the reason why there is a change in quarter-on-quarter on margin, okay? On the ad spend, you are absolutely right. There's two components to this. So what you see is, and what we report is the total advertising and promotion. But also, within that, we have media and we have sales promotion, right? So if you look back to the analyst meet, I would have shown you how we've done. And we are exactly there. A&P continues to be at very good levels. And I would say it's increased. So if you say, you know, I'm seeing only from 6 to 7.4 or whatever was the number that you mentioned, yes, but within that 7.4, the mix between media and sales promotion has changed. And that accounts for about 85%. And that's consistent with the, you know, when you have a business which is growing nicely, then, you know, we had to use the money on brand spend. And if you go back to even our early days of COVID, we had said that this will be the year we will not cut back on media. We will hold SG&A tight and we will invest in media, and the results are obviously there in the growth figures that you see. So thank you all, both very good question. And on a quarter-on-quarter basis, your question was on profitability question. So yes, there is some amount of provisions also that we made in this quarter, because, you know, there are, as per our guidelines on accounting, if some customers It varies by customer, but if some customers overdue exceed X number of days, then we provide for it, right? And that's prudent and good governance. As and when this money comes back, as these things settle down, then that will be a credit. It will come as a credit. That's the only difference materially between quarter two and quarter three.
So that would be accounted for in the other expenses line, right?
You know what? I'm going to have asked Shino that question, but it should be there. Shino, yes. What's the answer to that?
Yes. It's in other expenditures.
Yeah. Okay. So firstly, there must be, even though it may be looking flat, in total, there must be other savings that we've made, and this has gone. Yes. Okay. So, Shino, would I be right in the answer, yes, that I gave to Percy?
That is right, sir. That is right, sir. It is some of the savings has been there in the JNA, but this has been gone up because it has been not that much, which is showing in that response. You're right.
Right. And his question on quarter to quarter on profit, yeah, that would also be what I said is correct, which is that it will be largely due to the provisions that we made?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, Percy. So, Shino says that what I said was okay, and so it should be okay. He's the CFO and he knows it, right?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Percy. You have a great day, sir. Cheers. Okay. All right, Mehul, sorry, I'm over to you. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Patel from Adinath Shares. Please go ahead.
Hello, congratulations for the great set of numbers. I have one question, sir. What earlier participant asked regarding EBITDA margin, that in next few years, what kind of EBITDA margin we expecting for on blended basis for both of segment, like food and edible, on combined level, in higher teen or?
Okay, Chirag, what else?
Hello.
Chirag, was that the only question, or did you have any other question?
Yeah, I other question also, but let first answer this, and I will ask this.
No, I need all of them at one time. That's the protocol we follow for efficiency. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Okay. So the first question is on EBITDA margin, and the second question in addition to it, to increase those margin, are we going to compromise on any expenses other than advertisement?
Okay.
So that's two questions.
What else? That's it. Okay. No. Then I'll answer your question, then we'll move on to the next person. Okay? Huh? That's what everybody is familiar with, and it works for us. So thank you, Chirag. So the answer to your question is, see, we will not be able to give you a projection on what is our EBITDA margin going to be this year, next year, etc. But we obviously don't want to be an 8-9% EBITDA margin company, right?
Right?
If you see all our choice of categories that we are expanding into, now it is all more in terms of higher margin categories, right? Chocolates have an inherently higher margin to other categories, right? They are profitable, they are fast growing, right? In fact, if you look at the US market, the most respected companies are actually Mondelez and Hershey's, right? From an investment perspective. And the reason is that they've got a great snacking option, right? It consists of chocolates, but it also consists of other snacks. So that certainly would be there. The same holds good for spreads. These are inherently very profitable businesses. Both spreads and breakfast cereals actually are very profitable. To give you a perspective, a company like Kellogg will treat anything less than a 50% gross margin as like a, not a great product, right? So their expectations are very high. We are also seeing that in peanut butter. We are making good margins on peanut butter. So I would say definitely we will continue to focus on higher margin category, right? And but we need the other sort of lower margin businesses like bag snacks, because that's what gives us scale, right? Our distributors have to make money. We have to be able to reach to those stores. We want to have the reach of a Hindustan Unilever, right? We think we can get it because we have a great portfolio. If you look at our portfolio today, it's an amazing portfolio. Look at the range of categories that we compete in, right? And all with our own manufacturing, right? So all this is, IPR that we've created in the last 8 to 10 years, right? Ready-to-cook snacks, ready-to-eat snacks, breakfast cereals, spreads, shelf-stable spreads and chocolates. It's a huge portfolio, right? So with this portfolio, we think we can efficiently expand our business, okay? So I won't be able to give you a number. And any expenses other than advertising, I would say, see, we need to invest behind our brands. We also need to invest behind our people, and we need to give a great return to our shareholders. Okay. So these are the three basic elements, right? Now, at the same time, you know, obviously, if there is no consumer, then none of us have a reason to exist, right? We exist because the consumer every day goes and pays 5 rupees, 10 rupees, 100 rupees, 500 rupees, whatever she pays or he pays for our products, right? So we need to keep investing. And we've seen that in the years where we've reduced A&P, you know, it has an impact on margin. But, you know, I think we kind of passed that in a much more steady state FMCG space now. And we'll continue to invest behind our people, right? But we also are very, very conservative when it comes to spending, right? We have a very low-cost structure across the company. One of the reasons we are able to compete, you know, and effectively, and, you know, have such a low cost as compared to any of our products, any of our competitors, right, is because our overall cost structure is very low, right? So I'll give you an interesting figure. So, you know, there was one conversation which Shinu was having with his financial counterpart in the US the other day, and she was asking, you know, so how many people do you have? And he said, you know, so many in manufacturing and so many in sales. And then, you know, she asked the question, she said, you know, and tell me, how many out of these balance, how many report to you? And it was an interesting number, because I'll give you the balance. Outside of finance, which is responsible for transactions, factory people and sales people, we have only 24 people in this company. Just think about that number, right? We have only 24 employees in the company outside of finance, sales and manufacturing. That gives you an idea of how we operate. 24 people will be less than the people on this call, right?
Yeah.
And they're running this company, huh? So it is amazing, right? And we are, you know, we intend to be like that. We are not going to add, you know, add people and things like that. We want to run it, and that's the way technology enables you to do it. There's nothing that we can't do, you know. So, you know, in fact, one investor of ours asked us many years ago, so at some stage, will you have an investor relations manager? And I said, no, we can't afford it, right? I mean, you know, Shinu and I have to be, and Jyoti has to be the investor relations manager, right? We don't have, you know, administrative staff taking, assisting or nothing. So we'll be very, very frugal. That will be how we can balance it, get a good return to us as shareholders, invest behind our brand, and pay our employees fairly. Okay? Fairly. All right. Thank you, Chirag. And I think, ma'am, we've got basically time for one more question, right? So.
Sure, sir. The next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sachin. Good afternoon. Three questions. The first one is, I think, you know, maybe along the line of the question that someone asked, but, you know, I see a great product portfolio building up. We are spending money on A&P. So on distribution side, you know, from 400,000, you know, are we thinking like incremental addition, or do you think that spectrum may be a good idea? I mean, how do you think about that, if you can elaborate on that? Second question is on the new products that we launched last 12 to 18 months, and that is already contributing around 600 bits to the, you know, growth. Now, you know, most of these products were either constrained because of the manufacturing choices we made, or because we were holding back on growth because we were testing out market. So do you think that, you know, going forward, as we, you know, get the full potential of this product, the growth contribution from the new products can be far higher next year and, you know, in next 2-3 years? And the last one is, I think the 10 crore gross margin dip in the oil side. Is my understanding correct that a large part of that is because of our conscious choice of, you know, kind of making our premium edible oil more competitive? You know, what will happen when the tide reverses and the edible oil prices, you know, comes down? How will it play out?
Oh, thank you. Anil is the name, right, Anil?
Dwanil.
Okay, all right. I still didn't get it, but anyway, Mr. Zai, thank you for all the three questions, right? So let me take the last one first. So on the Yes, you're absolutely right. It was a conscious choice. You see, we could have increased prices along with the market. But actually, we had been planning to drop our prices. We mentioned that in the last quarterly call or even in the quarterly call before that. So, but what happens is if we had maintained our price premium, we would have seen a huge margin drop next year, right? You make the money this year, but you'll see it next year because volumes will drop. So we've taken that. We've taken that approach. We are still not fully there, like, you know, on Super Light, it is still a higher premium because Super, the Santa prices have gone up, you know, a good 1100 basis points faster than rice bran. So as we, and this will also answer the second part of the third question, as the prices come down, we'll try and hold this premium in the 7 to 8% region. And if the Santa prices also come down further, we will actually, you know, bring down the premium, right? Instead of being at 115, we might bring that to 108, kind of in a similar ballpark, okay? But right now, obviously, it's very high and therefore having a huge impact on margins, right? There are, you know, there are many, in fact, some parts of our portfolio actually which we've stopped supplying to the market if we don't get a price increase, okay? So, yeah. So that's in the future, but we'll see where it goes. It's the world's supply chains are not exactly in great shape as a consequence of COVID. So we don't want to assume that everything will be very normal or prices will drop tomorrow or day after. Okay. So on your question on 400,000 stores, see, it's a bit of, we want growth, right? We want that 25 to 30% growth. And we, at any point in time, we want the most efficient way to get that growth, right? So think for a moment, this year, we obviously got growth, partly because of elevated demand, because people were at home, right? But also we made a choice. We said, look, we're not spending any money on travel. We're safe. We, you know, it's good for the safety of our people, right? We're going to work remote and we're going to work hard. Fortunately, as you saw, it's not a lot of people. It's 26 people, right? Effectively. So we can work as a very close team. And we will spend the money on media, right? So we spent a boatload of money on media and we got very good results out of it, right? So we'll suck it and see, right? We need 25-30% growth. Right now, I think our portfolio expansion is very good, right? I mean, it's great. And, you know, that itself should be able to get us a lot of the growth. But, of course, we will also see in case the portfolio is not giving us distribution expansion at the same rate or giving us business growth at the same rate that we get it, then we may have to make other choices. But that's something that we'll see and evolve as it comes along. Okay, the cost of greenfield distribution expansion is very high. Meaning, if you just say I want 200 people, right, you're talking about $1 million a year, right? Extra, right? So that's a lot of people. Okay, so that's a lot of money, right? So we'll see. I think at this point in time, we've got a lot of manufacturing capacity. We've got great products. Those are all within the ambit of our current distribution of instant popcorn and within our coverage. So we can get a lot of growth from these also. Then as the margin improves, as we, you know, we can say, okay, let's invest more in distribution. But for a moment, go back to the number I quoted, April 17, 678 distributors and December 2020, 1100 distributors. That's almost, we've almost doubled, not doubled, but probably increased by 80 to 90%. So that's good going here. So we'll keep going. But it will not be like we'll tell you now next quarter or this year we are spending so much money, 7 crores on this. No. If we can get the growth without that, so be it. Now you can always argue that, but then you can get even faster growth. But the thing with distribution expansion is the initially the new outlets that get opened, they always give you a lower revenue per store than your current. So getting the right balance is key. Okay? And last one, new products, yeah, very much so. See, the new products of last year already giving us 600 basis points of growth. And in fact, we were just having this conversation in an employee town hall, right, which we have after every quarterly results. And you know, somebody asked a question to Enna, who's our HR director, but who also doubles up. He handles wholesale, he handles export market, handles a lot of things. And his answer was that, look, you know, my take on all the products is the acceptance is really very good. Because they're great products, right? Is that, you know, look, I think the 600 basis points could be easily 1500 basis points, right? So we are kind of all in the camp that, you know, this is going to be significant. How much exactly it is, I think, maybe, you know, give us a quarter or two and we'll be able to give you a better projection of it. But certainly it's in a very, very expansive mode right now, right? Because remember, we have the distribution, we've got a great portfolio, it's got great pricing. And hopefully we've also made this correction on edible oils. It may pain us a little bit in the near term, but after that, it's like, I mean, you know, the food business has, we've clearly reached the inflection point. If we haven't reached it, I think we are about to reach it. That's what I think is the main story. Okay. I think, ma'am, that's it for 3 o'clock. So once again, you know, I'd like to say thank you to all of you for taking out the time to join us today. We value it. We know you have a lot of things to attend to. So we value it and we look forward to talking to you after another 3 months. Cheers. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.